Romans chapter 14, verses 7 to 10. Romans chapter 14, verses 7 to 10. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Lord, he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ is the title of today's adult Sunday class, taken from Romans chapter 14, verses 7 to 10. Christ both died and rose and revived. Jesus rose from the dead, victorious over sin and death. Hallelujah. The misery of sin is simply unthinkable. If not for Jesus Christ, we are still in the misery of our sins. And the bondage of sin is most frightening. I received this letter of distress. I'm starting to break down mentally now and suffering from major panic attacks. The only thing keeping me stabilized at this point is the pain medication, and if I check into the mental ward, they will take them away from me and put me on something much worse that won't kill my physical pain but will take what little sanity I have left. I won't be able to hold up much longer in this state. I send a word of encouragement. God is with you. Trust Him. Seek Him. He will help you. Psalm 121. Having been freed from the bondage of sin through the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ, we depend on God through His Word and His Spirit, through prayer, to live victoriously for Him. The believer is to cheer up and to be of good courage. He has the wherewithal of living a blessed life through Jesus Christ. Do you realize that you have all you need in Christ Jesus? It is for us to discover Christ. It is for us to discover Christ. God wants us to know Him. And the more we know Christ, the more we would find Him sufficient for us. How sad it is that without Christ, we find very little peace. The suffering of this life becomes overwhelming. The hymn "Keep On Believing" is an encouragement to draw nigh to God during the time of our despair. The hymn goes like this: when you feel weakest, dangers surround, subtle temptations, troubles abound, nothing seems hopeful, nothing seems glad, all is despairing, oftentimes sad. You know, when you are in a hospital ward and someone comes to sing for you, it makes a difference. If you are the one lying down, that's what I was told. Someone who was able to, well, it's my own wife, during the time when the baby was to be born, her children was to be born. So in the ward, struggling, the maternity ward, what did we do to calm our spirits? Well, we brought the songbook along. Then we began to sing the song. So we were just recounting. And, you know, she said, yeah, I felt the comfort at that time when the hymns are being sung. And so we were visiting with our Madam Pei on Friday. She has gone to the palliative ward. And how can you encourage someone in that moment of despair? Well, we said we sing a chorus of encouragement. So here, the chorus that we can learn to sing to someone. Keep on believing Jesus is near. Keep on believing there's nothing to fear. Keep on believing this is the way. Faith in the night as well as the day. If all were easy, if all were bright, where would the cross be and where the fight? But in the testing, God gives to you chances for proving what He can do. So it's in our testing, in the time when we are carrying the cross, in the time where we are heavily under trial, that we can prove the presence and the power of God in our lives. How blessed it is. How blessed it is. God is your wisdom. God is your might. God's ever near you, guiding you right. He understands you, knows all you need. Trusting in Him, you'll surely succeed. Do you know that God knows what you need? He understands you. Christ understands you very well, because He is the one that makes you, and He's the one that sustains you. You see? When we have a personal relationship with our Lord, that relationship thrives because we know who He is, what He's capable of. He knows, He understands you and knows all you need. So, trusting in Him when all else fails. And therefore, the hymn says, let us press on then, never despair, live above feeling, victory's there. Jesus can keep us so near to Him that nevermore shall our faith grow dim. How we need faith. So there was a testimony of someone who would not be taking dialysis treatment. And so she was ebbing away at 23 years old, 24 years old, 25 years old. So the family member who was with her holding her hand from 12 a.m. to 3 p.m. or 12 midnight to 3 a.m. holding her hand. And what was she doing? She says, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. She was praising the Lord for 3 hours. She was on the brink of entering heaven. She was praising the Lord for 3 hours. And the dear one said, I was holding her hand, and suddenly, tok, he said, like a fruit drop, she left. He's gone to heaven. A young age for someone to go, but she was ready. The Lord had prepared her. The life that we have with God, because Jesus both died and rose and revived, He lives, and therefore we live too. Verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, here we see quite a different topic. The Apostle Paul is asking the believer to give space for each other to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not be quick to be offended by the differences in preference that each has. He cited the example concerning food that they choose to partake. He asked the Christian that Christian grace be exercised. He has asked the believers to exercise forbearance for a weak brother who choose to eat only vegetable and will not eat meat. So there are differences in the way we do things. Let it not be a test of fellowship. Do not allow such matters to hinder Christians from relating to one another. The words to set at naught means to devour one another with unkind words because of such differing practices. The Apostle Paul tells us that Christ is the ultimate judge. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Rewards will be given to the faithful servant who serves God and men with humbleness of heart, and loss of reward for the unfaithful. Give each other the benefit of the doubt. Accept them who are still weak in the faith. Allow them room to grow by giving them time to know the ways of God and change. The fellowship among Christians is sweet and encouraging. It is brought forth when each would be willing to bear with the weakness of the other. To bear with the weakness of the other. How we need to spend time to cultivate a spiritual demeanor that would have the strength to not take offense easily. How difficult it is, but how it is possible in the changed man. The man in the spirit allows us to have that change. And so verse 10 says, why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou not set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment for believers is called the judgment seat of Christ. It's not a judgment concerning their salvation. So there are two judgments that is recorded in the book of Revelation. The first is the judgment seat of Christ. This is given as a reward or the loss of reward for believers, believers only. Okay? The second is the great white throne judgment. The great white throne judgment is for unbelievers. For unbelievers. So for the believer, we would be judged at the great white throne judgment. So Paul explains in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 9 to 10, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. So our time on earth is very precious. What we do now would impact our meeting with Christ face to face. He will receive us and he'll give us our rewards. And so we look forward to the time. And we do that by preparing to meet him through our life here on earth. So Jesus illustrates this in Matthew 25, 34 to 40. Then the king said unto them on the right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered and he gave me meat. I was thirsty and he gave me drink. I was a stranger and he took me in naked and he clothed me. I was sick and he visited me. I was in prison and he came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered or fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done unto one of the least of my brethren, ye have done it unto me. James says, in summarized well, Christ's teaching when he said in James 1:27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So there is that first separation from the world so that we are not entangled with the glitters, the deceiving glitters of this world, but also to do good, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. In our pastoral, we saw the lady who came to the Lord Jesus and began to wash his feet with her tears. It's found in our weekly. How devoted was she? An expression of love that was startling. So everyone around saw her and was startled. She found, why was she behaving in this way? Why was she whipping and wiping the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because she was grateful, very grateful. She found peace in her heart, a great relief, because the burdens of a sin that has robbed her peace for a long time has been taken away from her. The fetters of sin that binds and chokes her life have been broken when she came to Jesus. And so when she brought the alabaster box to come to Jesus, she was expressing her joy of sins forgiven, albeit by her tears. She did so with tears of joy. Psalm 30 verse 5 says, For his anger endureth but for a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Psalm 30 verse 2 to 4 expresses her heart. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from my grave, and hath kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Her response was one of thanksgiving. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. In exchange for the filth of sin, which she now loathed, Jesus has clothed her with a garment of righteousness. So it's God who first reached out to us, first extended his love to us, and our filial response of love is but our reasonable service. She did not feel it lowly or despicable to wait on the Lord in this humble way. So the Pharisee who hosted the dinner and Simon Peter, the disciple, asked Jesus the question, why did she do that? Why did she behave like that? And look how the Lord answered the disciple. To his disciple and to us, it is to jot us to consider how we have been loving the Lord, considering how he suffered the wrath of death and hell on our behalf. So may it jot us to love him more fervently by loving the people around us, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So the Pharisee saw it. She said, hey, this woman is a sinner, you know. But she was gloriously saved when she touched Jesus. Right? The man, the Pharisee says, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner this woman is that touched him. So how was she saved? She came and she touched the Lord Jesus Christ. See, when we come in contact with God, with Christ, he heals us, you see. Miraculously, he heals us. He touched us. We are touched. So when you are touched, then, you know, your life will also be touched. And the Lord wants, you know, us to that this to expand that touched life that we have. So this woman was gloriously saved when she touched the Lord Jesus, because in him was life, and the life was the light of men. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. See, when we are born in Christ, that's the great mystery, the change. She beheld his glory when she touched him and was healed, body and soul. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jacob learned this when he met his brother Esau. The attitude totally changed. No more hatred. Only God could take away such a hatred, you know. So he attributed it to God. And so as to the death of her indebtedness towards Christ, our Lord explained in this illustrative story. He said, there was a certain creditor who had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them loved him most? Simon Peter answered, I suppose that he to whom he forgives most. And he said to him, thou hast rightly judged. This woman, like all of us, have nothing to offer to pay her sins. She understood the depth of her depravity and corruption. As such, she was like a debtor who owed a hefty 500 pence and have no hope of paying back. No hope of paying back. And Simon, seeing this woman, says, I entered in. So Jesus explain and see, you know, look at her action. I entered the house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. If we have not experienced that forgiveness that Christ has given us, no wonder there is very little fruit to talk of. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Paul explained well this woman's response in Romans 5, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God.
So we have access to this grace by faith, wherein we stand justified before God and rejoice in the hope of God. There is hope in God. The Lord bless our devotion towards Him. Thank God that we are willing to do something for the people around us. May God strengthen our hearts this coming week to do His good pleasure. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Strengthen us by Thy Holy Spirit and bless us with Thy holy presence. Comfort us, cheer us, and send us forth to be Thy messengers, Thy ambassadors, Thy mercy givers. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.